Right. How are we doing this morning? We all right? Is it nice and cool in here? Because I got here super early for you guys just to turn the air on. No, I'm lying. I mean, I did get here early, but that wasn't the reason. But I thought of you guys when I got here early this morning, so I hope it's nice and cool. I know it's hot. Today we're jumping in again into 2 Timothy. And I titled this message, Want to Be Useful to the Master. Want to be useful to the Master. We have been going through the books of 1 and 2 Timothy for a few weeks now, just to recap again. The books of Timothy are written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Timothy was kind of his young protege. Timothy was somebody who looked up to Paul, a younger guy. In this instance, in this time period, he has just taken over his first kind of pastorate position at a church in Ephesus. So Paul is writing to Timothy just for further instruction, further guidance as to how to lead his church, how to lead the Lord's church, not Paul's church, how to lead the Lord's church there in Ephesus. And again, today, we're going to talk about some things. We're going to talk about some vessels. Some gold and silver vessels, some wood and clay vessels, and Paul kind of uses this illustration to point out some very important things to Timothy. So we're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're just going to look at a few verses 20 through 22, 20 through 22 this morning. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father God, Lord, we just thank you that we can open up your word, God, that we can hear you speak whenever we choose, God. We can open up your word and hear from you. And Father, I just pray this morning that that's what's done, that we can hear from you, not from me, but that your spirit can work through me this morning. Just bring to memory what I studied this past week and just let it fall on soft hearts here at Grace Church. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at verses 20 through 22, and I'm going to read those first, and then we're going to get into it, all right? Does that sound good? All right. Y'all mind if I read from the Bible? Okay, good, because that's what we do here at Grace Church, all right? All right, we're going to read 20 through 22. Now, I'm reading from the ESV version. You might have the New King James version on the screen. Maybe a little different, but you guys will be able to just follow right along. Verse 20 says this, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 says this, Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, what does this version say? Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, that being dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions, flee also youthful lusts, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So those are the scriptures we're looking at this morning. Again, our title is called Want to Be Useful to the Master. And before I jump in, I want to talk some Olympics first. Do we have any, like, Olympic nuts here today? Yeah, I knew the Griffiths were going to raise their hand back there. The Carls, yeah. Gabe and I were watching archery yesterday together, and we were texting, and I didn't understand half of what he was saying, but I was acting like I did. And so I love watching the Olympics. I try to catch what I can. Obviously, I try not to sit in front of the television for 8 hours straight. But caught a little bit of archery yesterday, a little bit of soccer. Women's soccer won yesterday? Yes. Karen, how do you not know? Oh, I think they won. Somebody give me a yes. Okay, good. Thank you, Amy. Caught some soccer. Caught some handball. Have you ever watched handball? Handball, if I could go back in time, I would so train to be on the men's handball team. It's awesome. I watch some table tennis. I watch a little bit of field hockey, yes. and they play on a wet field, which is just boggles my mind. But cool stuff going on in the Olympics. I love the Olympics. I want to point out this little story that's going on right now, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard. But there's a big story with this Olympics in Rio with the U.S. team. And his name is Michael Phelps. Have y'all heard of Michael Phelps? Maybe anybody? Yes? No? Okay. So we've all heard of Michael Phelps. Wasn't expected to come back to this Olympics, right? After his last Olympics, he said he was done. Didn't have a desire to swim. Didn't know what he was going to do in life. But he was not coming back. Okay. And now he's back, his fifth Olympics. They even voted him as the flag bearer, right, for the U.S. But what we see, and I was just seeing this story a couple days ago, and I thought it fit in so good with what we're talking about. But he had a real identity crisis after that last Olympics. And I don't know if y'all have heard this. I heard this in an interview with him just a couple days ago. But back in 2014, he had been arrested for a DUI. You know, he was on the road down. He was not doing well. And he shared in this interview that he had actually considered suicide after this whole fallout. He didn't know what his identity would be outside of swimming. He didn't know who he was. But luckily, and this is so cool to me, he reached out to another athlete in the Baltimore area. Y'all might know him. His name is Ray Lewis. Plays for the Baltimore Ravens, right? Super Christian. Doesn't always do things right, but loves the Lord, right? So Michael Phelps had reached out to Ray Lewis, just seeking some counsel with him and what he should do in his life. And he had shared with him that he had considered committing suicide. And so Ray Lewis is trying to talk him back onto the right path. And he had convinced him to, or invited him to seek treatment and to seek help. So Michael Phelps went into a behavioral health clinic for almost 2 months, I want to say, between a month and 2 months. And when Michael Phelps was going in there, Ray Lewis said, "Take this with you." Now, it wasn't a Bible. That would have been awesome. But he gave him the book by Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Life. And inside treatment, Michael Phelps memorized the book, Purpose Driven Life. They even started calling him Preacher Mike at treatment because this book had just changed his life. And I say all that to get here is that we're not all Michael Phelps, right? We all don't have the skill, the talents, the abilities to swim in the pool like Michael Phelps does. We don't all have those weirdly long arms that he has, right? But God really is, he's given Michael Phelps these abilities, and he's leveraged those abilities to make a huge impact, right? He's leveraged these abilities to make a huge impact, not just in swimming, but in the lives of other people. And through this treatment, now that he's come back, I'm praying that the Lord has saved him. And God will even use him even more now for his purpose. That's my prayer this morning, is that Michael Phelps will be used by God for his purpose to influence people in an even powerful, more powerful way. So again, we're not all Michael Phelps. We don't all think that we can accomplish things that he can accomplish, but I think we do have something in common with him, and that's this. I think all of us here have the desire to do something significant in our lives. All of us. All of us here want to have some kind of positive impact in this world, or on people in this world. Amen? As followers of Jesus, church, talking specifically to you, we should all have the desire to be used by God how he sees fit so that we can make a difference in this world. We should all have that desire to be used by God. But we all need to ask the question, and that's where we are this morning, is how can we be useful to the Master? How can we be useful to God? What do we need to do to be able to be used by God to impact the world around us? What do we need to do? This is exactly what Paul is talking about here in these scriptures to Timothy. He lays it out for us in these verses. He describes how to be a vessel of honor, right? He talked about being a vessel of gold and a vessel of silver. He describes how to live a life that honors and glorifies the Master. He uses the illustration of the vessels. Again, these are utensils or plates or bowls, whatever you want to call it, in a house, right? Talks about the gold and silver vessels. They're the vessels of honor. Y'all see that in the scriptures? The vessels that are put on display in the Master's house. This is the fine china, y'all. The gold and silver vessels he's talking about here are like the fine china. The kind of vessels that are only used for special, specific occasions. These vessels are the Master's prized possessions. Y'all ever meet someone that has some fine china? And it's like, don't even consider eating on those, because those are like the display items, prized possessions, right? That's what Paul's talking about here when he talks about gold and silver vessels. Then he talks about another vessel. One's of wood and clay. Not so fancy. These are the vessels everyone keeps hidden from sight. Y'all have any of that kind of dishware at your house? Where you're like, oh no, don't bring those out for the guests. It's like, put those in there. They might come out when they don't want to. These vessels might come out when you don't want to ruin another dish. It's like, oh man, this is about to be nasty. I don't want to ruin this nice dish. I'm going to bring out this wooden clay vessel over here and use this, right? They might be used for trash. Maybe back in the day here, they could be used as a trash can or for holding some fish guts, right? Or for holding some motorcycle oil. Yeah, there's a story there. Do I need to go into that one? Okay. I had a motorcycle once upon a time, and I thought it'd be cool to try to change my own oil. Of course, I didn't have any of the tools to do that, but that didn't stop me. So I went searching in the kitchen for some kind of oil pan to put under the motorcycle. And hidden away, not the fine china, but hidden away back in the cabinet somewhere, I'm sure it got used once in a while, but I found this pan. I later found out it was called a turkey roaster. Yeah, we don't. No, that's fine. I'm not calling you out on this. Found a turkey roaster pan, okay? Back hidden in the cabinet somewhere. And I said, oh man, this pan doesn't get used. It's got dust on it. It's like this, like she won't, it's like she won't even notice that. So I take it out to the garage and I try to change my oil. And then she finds the pan later, with a couple quarts of oil in it, and she flips out on me, and I've never lived it down to this day, okay? But that's the kind of vessels we're talking about when we talk about wooden clay vessels. The ones that are hidden back, they're not used for fancy. They're not put on display. Again, the master does not want to have any. He doesn't have any great plans for these vessels because they're filthy, right? They're unappealing. They're not special. They're not very useful to the Master. They're not very useful to the Master. Paul calls the vessels of wood and clay the vessels of dishonor. The vessels of dishonor. Hopefully this morning we can see that Paul is trying to point Timothy in the direction of desiring to be like the gold and silver vessels. Y'all see that, right? So he can be used to honor the Master. But there's some things that Timothy needs to do first. And this is where we're going to jump in this morning with our points. There's some things Timothy needs to do, but there's some things that we need to do still here today, church. If we want to be used by the Master, be a vessel of honor, we need to do two things. We're looking at that this morning. Only these two. Point number one, first we need to cleanse ourselves. Cleanse ourselves. Verse 20 says this, "Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master, ready for every good work." When Paul says dishonorable here in verse 20, he's referring to those wooden clay vessels, right? And what those vessels stand for. He's referring to the parts of our lives that dishonor God. The parts we keep hidden. The parts we don't let our neighbors see. Or even our spouses. The parts we don't put on display. But they're still there, hidden. The parts of us that come out when we feel like getting a little dirty. And we all have that desire here this morning once in a while. Let's be real. But scriptures say we need to cleanse ourselves from what is dishonorable. We need to cleanse ourselves from sin, y'all. We need to cleanse ourselves from sin. Now, let's stop right there. I don't want to start confusing y'all. There's a main aspect of cleansing that we speak of, which comes to us as we trust in Jesus, right? And his work on our behalf. Okay, there's a main aspect of cleansing there. This work of cleansing that I'm talking about, the main aspect, is God's work in us, not our work, right? This main cleansing is spoken of in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I'm just going to read that this morning. It says this, "If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Right? So when we repent of our sin and trust Jesus as Savior, then our sin has ultimately been taken care of. It's been taken care of. That's the main aspect of cleansing. When you see that in Scripture. 1 Peter 2:24 says this. It says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." So we're considered clean in the Father's eyes when we trust in Jesus. We're considered clean in the Father's eyes when we trust Jesus as Savior. I don't want to get that confused this morning. But verse 21 tells us to cleanse ourselves, or if anyone cleanses himself. This is not the work of just God alone here. Y'all seeing that? This aspect of cleansing is connected with our usefulness of service and our closeness to God. So we need to cleanse ourselves from sin. Not so we can be in right standing with God, right? We do that through our relationship with Jesus. But so we can be used by God. So we can be used by God. And like I said, I think this morning we all have this deep desire to be used by God. Amen? And to make an impact in this world for his glory. But are we willing to truly examine our lives and cleanse ourselves from the sin that dishonors God? Are we willing? Let's take a step over. What's your thought life like? Talking about examining parts of it. What's your thought life like? You ever thought about that? You ever heard the illustration of if somebody were to take your thoughts and project them on a screen? How bad would that be, y'all? But that's the kind of examination we need to do, church. What's your speech like? Is it God-honoring this morning? Or is it like the vessels of wood and clay? Dishonoring. What are you consuming through your eyes? Through your ears? Is it pulling you towards sin or pulling you towards Christ? These are things we need to examine, church. Is there sin in your life that you just don't think is a big deal this morning? Paul gives an example right here of how we can cleanse ourselves from things of dishonor, and this is in the beginning of verse 22. He says, flee from youthful passions. Flee from youthful passions. Does it say, like, slowly walk away from youthful passions? It says flee, like run. Like run away. Like run, Forrest, run. Right? Like gazelle intensity, Dave Ramsey people. Run. Youthful passions are things like this. Sexual temptation. Run. Illicit pleasure of the flesh. A longing for fame. A longing for glory. Run. Don't hang out with it. Don't make it your best buddy. Run. Paul says, don't even play around with that stuff. Don't even entertain the idea. Don't think that you can endure against it. That's what a lot of people do today, church. Just run. Just get out. Just run. If you cannot flee youthful lusts, there's a limit. There's a limit to how much God can use you. A limit to how useful you are to the master. There's a limit. You can't say yes to God until you can say no to some other things. Amen. So you want to be useful to the master? Again, there's two things. First, we need to cleanse ourselves, right? Second, we need to pursue righteousness. We need to pursue righteousness. Verse 22 says this, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So this word righteousness, I'm sure all of us have heard this in the church this morning. Righteousness in the Greek is this word, dikaiosune in the Greek. So in the broad sense, in this original language, it's a state of him who is as he ought to be. Y'all catch that? Righteousness, the condition of being acceptable to God. It also has this meaning of integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness and correctness of thinking. Purity of life. Now again, let's not get confused. I just want to be clear. When we're talking about pursuing righteousness, we're not talking about striving to be acceptable to God. Right? Scripture tells us that through our faith in Jesus and by trusting in the work he's done, we are made righteous. We are made accepted by God. Meaning, we're now acceptable to God because of our faith in the Savior. Romans 3:22 says this, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Right? So it's our faith in Christ that makes us righteous, makes us acceptable to God. But once again, there's an aspect of pursuing righteousness that's connected to how usable we can be to God. How ready we are for every good work. From verse 22, how ready we are for every good work. This is the part of pursuing righteousness that we are responsible for. Not that we're totally on our own, right? But we need to take an active role in pursuing righteousness in our lives. Purity of life. We need to take an active role in pursuing a pure life. Being useful to the master is far more than simply running from the bad stuff, right? It's more than just running from the bad stuff. It's more than just running from dishonorable things, but it's also turning towards the honorable things. It's not just running away from the bad, but it's running away from the bad and running to the good. We need to run towards the good things, righteousness, faith, love, and peace. To be useful to the master, to be a vessel of honor, we're to pursue a life of holiness, a life of purity. That's not me talking, that's scripture. We must study his word and apply it in our everyday lives. Apply it. I don't care how many Bible verses you can quote. If you don't apply it in your lives, it means nothing. We must ask God to reveal the areas of our lives that are dishonoring to him and commit to fleeing from those things and pursuing righteous living. Real quick, five practical ways we can pursue holiness here this morning, where we can pursue righteousness. Take our sin seriously and call sin, sin. When you sin, it's sin. It's not something else, it's sin. Confess our sin to God and to others. Strive to do what's right in God's eyes and obey his word. Are we going to get it right every time? No. Say no, church. No. Does that mean we don't strive to do it right just because we're going to fail once in a while? Number four, say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. And the fifth practical way to pursue righteousness, pursue holiness over happiness. Pursue holiness over happiness. Sometimes sin makes you happy. That's just our nature, church. But we're to pursue holiness over happiness. Titus 2, verses 11 through 12 says this, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age." We are called to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives. Are we pursuing righteousness, church? Or are we content with just where we are? Just to wrap up this morning, God is calling us to be prepared. He's calling us to be prepared for every good work, like it says in his scripture, in his word. He's calling us to be vessels of gold and silver, to be cleansed of dishonorable things. He's calling us to pursue righteousness, to pursue a life of holiness. He's calling us to be set apart as a holy people, to live a life that brings honor and glory to the master. He wants to put our lives on display, just like that fine china. But we have the choice, right? We can be a gold platter in the house of God, beautifully displaying the fruits of the Spirit, or we can be a platter of wood and clay, an ashtray, a garbage can. God wants to do powerful things through you, church. He can do those things without you. This is the crazy part. His plans are going to be done with or without you. But here's the cool part. If you buy in, if you commit yourself, you get to experience what God's doing. You get to be a part of His plan. And that should be our goal, church, to be a part of His plan. So that each and every one of us here this morning can do something significant, can make an impact in this world for Jesus Christ. Not to lift ourselves up, but to lift Him up. So what are you this morning, church? What are you? Gold and silver, or are you wood and clay? Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just thank You again that we can come to You. Lord, we thank You for the guidance, the direction in Your Word. And Father, we just want to be useful to You. We want to be used by the Master. Father, we know we're not perfect, but we know we've got some things to work on this morning. Father, I just pray as we leave this place this morning that Your Spirit would just tug on the hearts of these people to get rid of the dishonorable things in their life, to cleanse themselves, to pursue a life of righteousness, to pursue a life of holiness, so that we can be used by You. Father, we just thank You for the opportunity to even be a part of Your plan, let alone be a key part that Your church is. Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus, and through Him, ultimately, we receive righteousness. Through Jesus, that we're accepted by You. Father, I just pray this morning again, just lay it on the hearts of our people, of this church. Let us be vessels of gold and silver. Let us be, again, we're called to be ambassadors of You, Lord, in this dark world. Let us make an impact. Let us be on display for You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, church.